what it means to partake of the Lord's Supper, the more people will be here to express their love and their appreciation for what God has done for you. So this morning is just a opening of what's going to happen tonight on this Lord's table. Brother Marshall will be ministering the Lord's Supper tonight if he feels like it. But if no one said a word tonight and we just pass the communion, here on this table will be everything that you can think of in your life is before you on this Lord's table. His broken body and his shed blood. So this morning, the implications of the blood covenant. The implications, and I doubt a lot of us really understands, including myself, the full implications of this Lord's Supper. Because I believe we did, I think every born-again Christian that's a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, if they was able to be here, if not this morning, they would be here for this occasion tonight. Because what Jesus done for you and the implications of this blood covenant started, say, the Lord's Supper this morning for this title. But we need to understand, and I studied this many hours this week, and the Lord gave me some different understanding and some greater understanding of the Lord's Supper and this blood covenant. And if we understand this blood covenant, we could live up to our profession that we profess to be Christians. The more that we understand, we'll be dealing in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 2 Samuel chapter 9. We'll be dealing with an old subject a lot of you knew about, and that's Jonathan, David, and Mephibosheth. And it all points to the Lord's Supper, the blood covenant that will be ministering here tonight. God and Jesus made a covenant on your and my behalf 2,000 years ago. And 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own. Let us pray. Father, we just pray for the understanding of the Holy Spirit of God to bring knowledge and wisdom to our heart this morning. Father, for the great subject of the Word of God, for the great subject of salvation, we know it's your blood. The implication it has upon our life, and not only upon our life, but also upon our death. Father, continue on to our families and our families' families. The most important subject in the Word of God is the blood. It's all about Him on our behalf. So, Father, I pray that you will expand our knowledge and our understanding of this blood covenant of the Lord's Supper that we all, Lord, ought to partake of. Each time we have an opportunity and a chance to show honor and praise and glory for what you've done on Calvary's cross for that blood covenant. We thank you here this day, and Father, for all the ones that we're praying for, the ones who've lost of loved ones, one sick in the hospital, and on our prayer list we have so many, Lord, have this tragedy sickness, and ones that's going to the hospital. We'll just thank you and praise you, Lord, for the name of Jesus Christ is above all other names. And we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. We have this covenant between God and man, God in the human flesh, and Jesus Christ, and God made a covenant. Now, the story is going to be foretold here in the Bible of King Saul. King Saul was the first king of the nation of Israel. And we know that King Saul failed. He had a son named Jonathan. and a young man came along named David. Now, we know when David killed that giant Goliath, he was a top star in old Saul's kingdom. But then after a while, the people began to turn to David and show their appreciation and their allegiance towards David and made King Saul very, very jealous. He showed great kindness to David to start with, but after that jealousy, we know it's cruel as the grave, then he went to kill David. He was so jealous of David. But he had a son named Jonathan, and all the story, it unwraps in a young man of Jonathan's son named Mephibosheth. This is the blood covenant, and I'll tell you again, this is your life. And every time that you come to the Lord's Supper, you may understand that this is your life, what Christ Jesus done for you. The first thing that we'll see, the blood covenant is a biblical principle throughout the Bible. I know that I like to watch old Westerns, and you see old Westerns, the cowboys and the Indians, they are at war. And then they may have a man and a cowboy and an Indian, they have peace with one another, and they have a blood covenant. You ever watched them on television? They cut their hand, another cuts their hand, they put it together, and the blood's supposed to be mingled together. A commitment that the war is over. This blood covenant that Jesus and God himself on the cross of Calvary, this blood covenant says the war is over. Jesus paid it all. And we have these principles here as you think about it. And Jonathan made this covenant with David. Now covenant, the word covenant means to cut. To cut. And we know it's called two friends. Now in the Bible, friend is very, very strong and a very important word. Remember, Abraham was a friend to God after God made a covenant with Abraham. The blood covenant is a subject throughout the Bible. Not just a verse or two, but throughout the Bible. The concept of the blood covenant is unbreakable. And you better understand that this morning. It is unbreakable. It is a commitment that two with unbreakable partnerships. And this blood we're going to celebrate tonight is that commitment with Jesus Christ with you that's unbreakable. You want to know why the Bible teaches eternal security? Because God and Jesus entered into a blood covenant is unbreakable for you. That is eternal security because that covenant will never be broken. The blood covenant, eternal security. Proverbs 18 and 24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Jesus Christ. And your loved ones in Jesus Christ and the family. John 15 and 15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friend. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Until we understand this blood covenant, I hold in my hand a Bible. There's an old and there's a new testament. The word testament is the same word for covenant. For covenant. It means to cut. I pray you come tonight to the Lord's Supper in honor of Jesus Christ. It will show how much you love the Lord and to show how much you love his people in the same blood covenant. Luke says this cup is the new covenant of my blood. David said, Lord, have mercy upon me according unto thy loving kindness. Loving kindness, it means I will do good to you regardless. Have Jesus Christ kept his covenant with you? Regardless of how you act, behave, he says, I will show you goodness. Is anyone in here that God have not showed goodness through Jesus Christ? Do you deserve it? Jesus says, this covenant of the Lord's Supper, I will show you goodness regardless. He has lived up to his covenant with me. The blood covenant is a secret of all blessings. It is a secret of all blessings. Did you know there's a lot of promises in this word of God that I hold so dear to me? And did you know every promise in this Bible is a blood covenant promise? Every promise is a blood covenant promise through Jesus Christ that cannot be broken. The commitment that Jesus Christ has. Luke 22 and 20, the cup is a new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. It's strength of the believer. It's your strength today, Pleasant Hill. And tonight, Brother Marshall comes to minister the Lord's Supper. Learn the victory of the believer's security as you look at this table. What Jesus has done for you, and people takes it so lightly. If there ever a service to the house will be packed out, it will be what Jesus Christ has done for the saved people of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. The security, the blood covenant, as we look at this table. Then the source of boldness. We have the source of boldness. To understand the covenant, you no longer have to go upon how you feel, how you think, how you behave. You go upon the fact of the blood covenant. It's the blood. The blood covenant, we have boldness through the blood, the Bible says. Now, Satan will tell you that you're not worthy. Don't argue with him. You're not. You point to the blood covenant and let the blood take up the argument for you. The blood. The blood covenant symbolized in this covenant, as we fix to read another verse, 1 Samuel 18:3-4, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own. Now listen to this covenant they made in verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garment, leaving to him his sword and his bow and to his girdle. Now this blood covenant, whenever they enter into this pact of symbolization, Jonathan, he took his robe off of the king's son. He's a king's son. He took that robe off, he gave it to David. That is a binding covenant of his position. When Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, yield his position to you, he took the robe of righteousness. And what are you wearing this morning? If you're saved, you're wearing the garments of righteousness, the robe of righteousness. How did you get that robe of righteousness? The blood covenant gave it to you. Through Jesus Christ took off his robe of righteousness and he gave it to you. You're wearing that robe of righteousness this morning if you're saved here today. Because he says, David says, my peace I give unto you. Jesus says that to us today, Pleasant Hill, the robe of righteousness. I yield, as a son of God, my position to you. That's your position, sons of God. The Lord's Supper, as we'll see tonight, remembrance. Then he says he took his garments off, a binding possession of what he had. My possession, Jonathan says, now belongs to you, David. Jesus Christ says, all my possession of the king's son belongs to you through the blood covenant. Belongs to you, heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ through the blood covenant, the Lord's Supper to remember. All through the blood. Then he took his sword and his bow were the binding power. My shared power belongs to you. The sword and the bow was a power of Jonathan. He gave that to David. Jesus Christ, through the blood covenant, gave his power to you. The power that Jesus has through the name of Jesus belongs to the child of God. Through the blood covenant, that's our salvation. He says, Jonathan, to David, my position, my possessions, my protection, my power is yours. The Lord's Supper, the blood covenant, my people, is yours. It's up to you if you want to thank him for it or not. I'll tell you the second thing. The blood covenant is a beloved promise. It is a beloved promise because it is unbreakable. Now, at this time, Saul became very, very jealous of David. And he wanted to kill him because the people had so turned to David that they thought that, or Saul thought that he was going to take over his kingdom. Jonathan, the king's son, said, I'm going to hide you. And he took care of him. And that's when he made that blood covenant. And that blood covenant, you understand, whenever someone makes a blood covenant, it goes to generation to generation to generation. That blood covenant. You'll find out that blood covenant did not stop with David. It was passed on to Mephibosheth. That blood covenant did not stop when Jesus Christ was on the cross. But he says, come to the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. This covenant is a continual blood covenant to all the people for all the generations until I come back. When people shirk this, they're shirking the responsibility of thanking Jesus Christ for the continuation of the blood covenant to the next generation. Not just to me, to my children and my children and my children's children's children. It is a continued covenant what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. This blood covenant. To remember what he's done for us. King Saul and Jonathan, King David. In the old time, whenever, and even the Old Testament, whenever the kings would be taking over the kingdom ship, a lot of time they was vengeance took on the household of the past king because of the rivalry that would come through the past king's family. And they'd put all of them to death. This was a normal happening of the vengeance that a king would take. Well, see, David didn't know about Mephibosheth at this time. But the nurse, the royal nurse that nursed Mephibosheth, whenever Jonathan, the daddy of the Mephibosheth, had died, she was a royal nurse, and there was a little boy. His name was Mephibosheth. And she heard that David was out to seek some of the family, the sons of Jonathan. So the nurse took off and run, going to hide Mephibosheth. And the story is in the Bible, if you read this in these chapters I got pointed out here to you, that she fell. And she crippled the young son. He was crippled by a fall. And this is where your life comes in. Of the value of supporting the Lord's Supper and the covenant that Jesus Christ and God made for your sake today. So the nurse run, the baby fell, the baby was crippled for life. She run to a place called Lodibar. Lodibar is a place out on the backside of the desert where she thought she would hide him, he would be safe. Lodibar names a place where there's no pasture is the name of Lodibar. A dry land. A dusty land. You see, your fall, you was carried to a dry and a dusty land without Jesus Christ. Lodibar. This is your life. The Lord's Supper. And what this has restored for you. Now we go to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. This is the happening, and this is your life. What this blood covenant was brought through Jesus Christ and God the Father for your sake continuously from generation to generation. We need to make more of the Lord's Supper than just something that we do once every quarter, and just a handful of people dribbles in as he watched the blood dribble down from the cross of Calvary. And it said, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Zelba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Zelba? And he said, thy servant he is. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show kindness of God unto him? And Zelma said unto the king, Jonathan have yet a son which is lame on his feet. At that time, David did not know if there was any living with Jonathan, the blood covenant he entered in with Jonathan. He was crippled by a fall. For us to learn what this is all about, of this blood covenant, this is your life. Mephibosheth, as you come tonight and we observe the Lord's Supper, you will see Mephibosheth through the Lord's Supper, which pictures you. It pictures you. As on in 2 Samuel 9, 5 and 6 says, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Melchior, the son of Amariel, from Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, was come unto David, when Mephibosheth saw him, he come to David. Mephibosheth fell on his face and did reverence David. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. When he first found him, he fell upon his knees. And he says, I'm not worthy, as he fell on his face. And that shows his reverence to David, that I'm not worthy. Again, when you come in the presence of Jesus Christ, what he done for you on Calvary's cross, by the cutting of that testament, the blood covenant, all you can say is, I'm not worthy. All anybody can say that I'm not worthy, which we're not worthy of what Jesus Christ done for us. Then David answered in verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continuously. I will show you kindness, Pleasant Hill, and restore all the land that you have lost because of your father and the blood covenant, the supper. As you think about what he have done for you continuously, the Lord's Supper, as we look at this, 2,000 years and we're still continuing the Lord's Supper. The blood covenant continues on. And that blood is ready to be applied to someone that they has never accepted that. And I'm not talking about if you're a church member or not. That means absolutely nothing in heaven. Don't give me that stuff, I once was saved. You've never been under the blood covenant once you're saved, because that's eternal security. You're always saved. But were you saved? Verses 9, 8, 9, and 10, it says, and he bowed himself and said, O Mephibosheth, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Jesus, what is it, a dead dog like me, that you should show kindness upon? And you enter into that also. And verse 9 says, then the king called Zelma, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I will give unto thy servant son all that pertains to Saul and all to his household. Verse 9 said, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, the master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Zelma had 15 and 20 servants. But Mephibosheth shall eat at my table when? Not one meal, but continuously, that you might feed on the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ through this covenant. Psalm 25 and 14 says, the secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him, as Mephibosheth did, and he shall show them his covenant, the Lord's table, saying the same to you and I, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. The blood covenant is a blessed power. This blood covenant is a blessed power to every child of God that wants to receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and understand it's not church membership, it's a person named Jesus. This church didn't bleed for you, Jesus did. The covenant. I die to the old way of life. Mephibosheth had an old way of life he died to. Now living a new way. I'm sitting at the king's table with David. Oh, Mephibosheth, as he's sitting there with King David, says, please pass those biscuits, King David. And as King David takes these plate of biscuits and pass them over to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth sees the scars on his hand of that blood covenant. You know, in the olden days, and even in the Bible days, they would take smut when they would take a blood covenant, and they would rub it into the womb. And when it healed up, there would still be a black streak there. The evidence of the covenant. The nail-scarred hand of Jesus is evidence. If you don't want to see it, don't partake of it. But the evidence of what Christ has done for you is still on those scars in Jesus' hands. Those nail prints. Jesus paid it all. All to him that we owe. The blood has left a crimson stain, but it washes us as clean as snow. The blood covenant. Mephibosheth at the king's table. He sees what it's done. This covenant makes a transforming power in his life. A transforming power. Tonight, this Lord's Supper, we see these scars. The blood, the saving power of the blood. Jesus Christ entered into a covenant. God the Father with God the Son to proclaim the covenant upon all the sons and daughters of Adam. The blood of God and the blood of man was mingled together on the cross of Calvary. You say, wait a minute. I didn't think God had blood. He did one time. When Jesus walked on this earth, God had blood. Did you know what happened on Calvary? The blood covenant? Jesus Christ was 100% man. Jesus Christ was 100% God. And that blood covenant, man and God, the blood was mingled together for an everlasting covenant for all generations for you and I. The blood covenant on Calvary's cross. That blood. I've never really saw it like that before. I never really saw the covenant on the cross before. The Holy Spirit of God showed me that God's blood and man's blood, because it had to be two to have a blood covenant. Two things. And God entered into that covenant with his son Jesus Christ, and that blood was mingled together for all the offsprings of Adam Acts chapter 20, it says, feed the church of God, which I have purchased with my own blood. I'll tell you one thing, this blood covenant, this Lord's Supper, it pictures the Savior. Again, in that verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? You see, he knew he was a dead dog, as you and I are. The picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 1, chapter 9, 2 Samuel, verse 1. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show loving kindness for Jesus' sake, for Jonathan's sake, for your sake, for your sake? It is the picture of the sinner, you and I, Mephibosheth. Why? This is your life. Because sin deforms us. He was crippled by a fall. We have a table full of bowl of apples. Will someone knock that bowl off? That bowl represents old Adam, and every apple was in that bowl goes off with it. Every one of us fell because we was in that bowl of Adam. We all fell with him. We was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, a dry and a dusty land named Lodabar. Sin deforms us, but also sin dethrones us. We're lost heirs of the kingdom of God. We lost our kingdomship because God made man to reign and to rule on this earth. And not only that, it damns us. He was dead. The sentence of death was upon Mephibosheth. And I tell you, the sentence of death was upon every one of us until the covenant was made for you and for me. Next thing we see, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And it also pictures salvation. It pictures salvation, the blood covenant, the Lord's Supper, our inheritance. Because whenever he went and showed his kindness to Mephibosheth, the king, forgiveness, no more judgment. All are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, those are in Christ Jesus. The judgment is over with. The war and the battle are over with. So we receive the king's forgiveness 2,000 years ago. And when we do this, we see the Lord's Supper and know what he's done for us. The king's fortune. You ought to be here on Wednesday night. We've been in Matthew, the Beatitudes. And he promised the Beatitudes. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth. We lost ours. Jesus Christ brought it back through that blood covenant. Our fortune is restored. But not only that, we have the king fellowship. Remember the Lord's Supper. We will not come tonight to mourn a corpse. We come tonight to fellowship with a friend and a living Savior. My table continues because of the blood covenant. Generation upon generation upon generation. We come today to eat. This table, and you know, a table in your home is the most intimate relationship that you can have with a person. A friendship at the table. That's the reason the table in homes ought to be number one, which is no more. But they should be number one because that is the most intimate time that you can spend with your family. There's no family tables anymore in most homes. You have sacrificed the most intimate time on the altar of materialism. Man and woman. You've sacrificed that time, and it won't bring you any good. You ever watch television? No crazy Zimmerman that eats all kind of things and goes all over the world, but you notice what they do. They always wind up at a table. No matter what language, no matter what country, no matter what nationality, no matter what religion, it all winds up at a table. Why? Because of what I'm telling you right now. The intimate time that you can spend. And then the king family, Mephibosheth, I want you to be like one of my sons. Jesus Christ said, I want you to be like me. God said, my son. The application of the blood covenant is the Lord's Supper. Remember, the devil will tell you that you're not worthy of this Lord's Supper. And you might try to say, look, I'm just as good as they are. I'm just as good as that. And if that person goes to heaven, I'll go to heaven. You're not worthy to go to heaven, and none of us are worthy to go to heaven either. You better quit comparing yourself with somebody in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And you better start preparing yourself with Jesus Christ. And you better point to the blood covenant, what he's done for you. Don't point to a church. The blood covenant is one of the greatest things to human beings that we've ever experienced. And we're going to see it tonight. And it's up to you. I'd like to ask you this morning, are you under the blood? Have you partook of this blood covenant Jesus Christ and God entered in for your sake? Because you at the loaded bar if you hadn't. You in the backside of the desert in a dry and dusty land. Sin has deformed you. It has deformed you, dethroned you. And I'm going to tell you what, it has left you for doom and damn. You can come back and inherit everything that you lost through Jesus Christ's covenant. If you want to come, that you can come. As we come to sing this song, our invitation. It is great to know what God done for us. You need to be at the Lord's altar. You need to come. You want to come here for church membership? You come if you've already been saved. You want to be saved? You can come be saved. You may take of that covenant and start experience what Jesus Christ says, I want to pass on to you. I want to restore you. It's up to you. Mephibosheth could said, no, I don't want it, David. But you see, he was glad to take it. Anybody would say no to Jesus Christ, I just don't know. You can come just like you are. If God spoke to your heart this morning, I hope he have. I hope he give you some more understanding of what this table means to you as a person, to you as a saved person today. Brother Ray, as we stand and sing.